I'm back. For those who were last week, I said I don't preach in the evening service once a year. Wow, two in a row. Yeah, aren't I lucky? Yeah, this wasn't the plan, and we missed Steve, and you've got me. But I'm really looking forward to sharing this message tonight, and yeah, I really am excited about it. I just want to start with a bit of a story. It's quite handy. Kath, my wife's been away for the weekend, and so I can tell some stories about her. But when we were going out, we were just early days of going out, late sort of teenagers, and we went skiing with some friends in Mount Hutt. I remember this trip quite clearly. Just a bit of a background, I had a big disadvantage skiing with Kath when we were going out. She started skiing when she was 6 years old. I started skiing when I was about 16, 15, thereabouts. And so she was a lot better than me, and she's quite sore from the fact that I fell off the T-bar quite a few times, including her, accidentally. But I remember this trip, at the end of the day, we had a pretty good day, it was a nice day, and we're packing up to go, and unbeknown to me, behind my back, we're going out, but my future wife got the biggest snowball that you could imagine. Not hard snow, but really wet snow. And massive, and she put it right down my back. Now, it wasn't the kind of snow you could get out quickly. It's snow that sunk in, can I just say, down to my backside, just before we hopped in the car to drive back to Christchurch. It's quite a long drive from Mount Hutt. And so I was soaking wet the whole time. I have never quite exacted the revenge she deserves yet. Now, this thing about my wife, Kath, she's got a lovely character, but her character has changed my behavior forever. If I'm in the snow around my wife, I'm highly suspicious. My behavior has changed forever around my wife because of her character. Now, I have to say, just on the other side, Kath is awesome. And what I love about Kath, she's such an empowering person. And I know if I need to step out of safe harbors and do something I've never done before, if God's calling me to do something different or significant, do you know what? I know this is a funny way of putting it, given the context, but she's got my back. In a positive way. She's got my back. And now I know that she'll be in inconvenience herself for me. And I try to model that for her. If she's been called out of safe harbors and taken on something big, and she's good at taking on something big, I'm there for her too. And so that side of her character has changed my behavior. I'm much more likely to take on big things outside my comfort zone, move out of safe harbors, because I know her character is significantly going to back me up. And that changes my behavior. And so my big idea, I just want to put it right on the front, is the way you see God and the way you understand his character will really significantly determine your behavior and your willingness to move out of safe harbors and to take risks for him. What kind of God you see, what kind of God you know, will really influence your behavior and particularly willingness to take risks. It's the way it works. Last week, I just introduced a brief story in Judges, Old Testament, chapter 4 and 5. And the situation there was the Israelites were sort of in captivity and having a hard time from the Canaanites. And Deborah and Barak, they kind of rallied the tribes of Israel together to attack, and to God appointed them to attack. And they tried to rally up the 12 tribes of Israel, but many of them did not respond well. It says in Judges 4 and 5 that the tribe of Reuben was too indecisive to join the battle. The tribe of Dan, well, they just says they stayed at home. The tribe of Asher, they remained in safe harbors. But the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali stepped out of safe harbors and risked their battles and enjoyed the victory that came because God was calling them to that. And I've been musing, why did some of those tribes jump in and risk their lives going out of safe harbors? And why do some of those tribes just stay in safe harbors? And this is a pretty big question in context of our theme this year, For His Glory. Because I like what Richard said this morning. He said, having faith to leave, and this is my version of it, having faith to leave safe harbors in the face of fear, it really glorifies God. That really glorifies God. To face your fear and to leave safe harbors glorifies Him. And so it's really on theme as we continue to unpack this. In the season we are in as a church, you're probably getting the message the last 2 weeks if you've been here. Now I'm going to unpack this by looking at the life of Abraham. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed the summer series. We looked at people, Old Testament characters. Well, this is just a wee bit extension of that series, if you like. We're going to look at the life of Abraham. Abraham was the founding father of the patriarch of Israel. God called him from the land he was in to go to a promised land, gave him great promises about being a blessing to the nation and to the nations. A really significant character in the whole Jewish faith and in our Christian faith as well. I just want to highlight that some of the passages I read call him Abram, because Abram was his initial name. God changed it to Abraham. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of many nations. God expanded his blessing and his mandate as he lived his life. So Abram and Abraham are the same people. So just going to start, we've got four events in Abraham's life, four events that we're going to unpack how he managed to step out of safe harbors again and again. Now, Abraham was not perfect. He made a lot of mistakes, but he did a lot of things right. So let's just spend a few minutes looking at Abraham and how that could apply to our lives, the way he lived his life. So the first event was when Abraham was called to leave the safe harbor of his home. So we look at Genesis 12. Verse 1 to 4. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot, that's his nephew, went with him. In fact, there's actually a lot of reference into the New Testament of Abraham, so I'm going to use a bit of New Testament, because often that summarizes it a bit quicker than reading the whole text from Genesis. But in Romans 4, verse 8 to 9, the Apostle Paul, writing the New Testament, said, by faith, Abraham, when he called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign land. Abraham's was pretty settled in the land of Haran. They were pretty settled there. And they were familiar. They were actually doing quite well. They were quite wealthy. It was familiar surroundings. It was a predictable life. They'd been there for a while. But God intervened and called him to take a risk. He intervened and gave him a promise. The promise was, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. All the peoples on earth will be blessed for you. And at the time, that would have been a bit bizarre to Abraham. He didn't own the land. He didn't have any children. He didn't even know where he was going. But he stepped out of safe harbors anyway. And the thing is, Abraham did not step out from safe harbors because he understood the plan, because it didn't really make sense if he knew his circumstances. He stepped out because he trusted the promiser. He trusted the character of the God that was sending him. He wasn't taking mindless risks, but he was confident because he knew who God was, who God is. It says in Hebrews, he who promised is faithful. This was a bit of a mantra for all of Abraham's life. He knew God's character was one that was faithful, that would not promise things he did not fulfill. And this bedrock belief in the character of God gave Abraham ongoing ability to take risks and continue to go out of safe harbors in his life. He really trusted that God is a promise keeper. And we need to be careful that we also have that same trust in the living God. And he's got incredible promises. In fact, I'm really keen, over the summer series, we always have a series starting of P the last 4 or 5 years. And this coming summer, I'm really looking forward to doing a series on God's promises. We haven't done anything like that for a while because God's got incredible promises. So that's what we're going to do next summer. But the promises that God does, you don't have to wait to the end. There's so many promises. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Promise of forgiveness if we repent. The promise that we can't escape is love. We can't escape his love. No height, no depth, no distance can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that awesome promise? He promises us to live in his presence for eternity. These endless promises. And how much we actually are convinced of the character of God being a promise keeper will dictate, is directly relational to how much we're willing to take risks and move out of safe harbors. The next event in Abraham's life is in Genesis 13 I want to cover. And again, it's very generous towards his nephew, Lot. And so verse 5 of Genesis 13 explains it. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's, the Canaanites and Perizzites. They were also living in the land at the time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked around and saw the whole plain of Jordan towards Zorah was well watered like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. And this was actually a real key moment in Abram and Lot's life together. And there was a kind of a real pivotal moment. And now Abraham was the patriarch. He was the older one. He was more senior. And he had first dibs. Definitely had first dibs on what land he might want to choose. But he was incredibly gracious. He allowed Lot to take that decision. And now if Lot, to be honest, had respected Abraham like he should have in that culture, he would have said, "Look, I'll take the poor hill country. I'll take the stony ground. I'll let you have the plains because you're more senior than me." But now Lot, it says here, chose for himself. Lot chose for himself. And you know, Abraham, well, he was cool about that. He was really cool about that. And I love this idea that Abraham, he realized that God is not a God of scarcity. He's not a God that, has got limited resources. He saw God as a God of abundance. And irrelevant of what land he got, he was secure in the fact that God was a promise keeper and all the promises about being a blessing and the blessing to the nations, blessing to the world, wasn't going to pivot or change on the decision that Lot made. He was convinced that God was a God of abundance and not scarcity. And Abraham didn't feel like he had to manipulate the situation to make sure that he got the best land or do what he would have been quite culturally right to do, is to choose it. Choose the best land. He was not insecure around that. And in safe harbors, they're full of people who just look at the circumstances. And if Abraham just looked at the circumstances, obviously you want the good land. But he wasn't. Rather, he understood God as a God of abundance. He understood God's character. That, whatever ground he got, it didn't matter, he could still live. And if Lot got blessed, that would not mean that he couldn't get blessed. God can bless everyone. He really can. He's not a God of scarcity. It's interesting, comparing Lot and Abraham, actually. Lot chose by sight. He chose for himself. He had pretty much a selfish perspective. Abraham, he had faith that God was an abundant God and trusted him. Lot, he chose a fertile land. You know, Abraham ended up getting the hilly, stony land. Lot was about temporary prosperity, and Abraham had was all about eternal promise that God could give him. And it's interesting, Lot chose the land which was near Sodom, and it was an evil city. Not just a wee bit evil, it was extremely evil. It was actually such an evil influence on the land and on him. And you know, I suspect that God, Abraham knew that God is a holy God, and holy gods don't want to, you know, holy followers of a holy God don't want to be that close to such an evil influence. I believe that character, that understanding that Abraham had of a holy God meant that he was quite, probably quite happy not to be on the plains near the city of Sodom, because Sodom nearly, killed his wife, Lot's wife. It nearly destroyed Lot's whole life. It really did in some ways. He lost his wife because of the influence. They end up living in that evil city. And I believe Abraham was probably very happy of that decision because he knew he followed a holy God, and being so close to that evil influence was not healthy and not good for him. And I think, you know, God is glorified when we treat him as a God of abundance. He's not limited. And one of the things I've been thinking about, we've talked last weekend, and I talked last Sunday night around church planting, and that we really feel like there's a call in our church to step into a new season and be involved in church planting, becoming a resourcing, sending church. And a lot of people think, oh, what happens if we plant a church around another church? Or what happens if a church is planted around the corner from us? Doesn't mean I'm going to steal some people. Oh, you know, shouldn't we? Isn't it a competitive environment, and shouldn't we be concerned about that? That's thinking God's a God of scarcity. That's not thinking God's a God, abundant God. And it's happened. Church being planted around the corner, and being planted down the road. Awesome. That's fantastic. I cheer them on. I think that's, I'm thrilled. Do you know what? There's more than enough people who don't know Jesus in this city to fill 10 times the amount of building space we've got. So why are we threatened by that? We shouldn't be threatened by that. It's not a scarcity mindset, it's abundance mindset. And we need more churches. Research has shown you need more churches in Christchurch. And so let's don't bring a scarcity mindset, but abundance mindset. That awesome if more churches are planted around the corner. And where people go is a God thing, not something I'm going to stay awake at night worrying about. The third incident I want to talk about is Abraham, when he believed God's word that he would have a child. And Paul in Romans puts it really quite succinctly. So Romans 4, 18 to 25, Paul wrote about in Abraham. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it be said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave God glory, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, the safe harbor thing to do here for Abraham would be to give up the hope of having a child. He was 100 years old. His wife, Sarah, was 90 years old. Now, what would you do if you had a couple that you're really close to, maybe a relative or someone you had knew really well, they were 100 years old and 90 years old, and they were holding out hope and asking people to pray that they have a children? What would you counsel them? What would you counsel them? What would I counsel them? This is a crazy situation. But Abraham knew the character of God. He knew to his bones that this was nothing for the God he served. And the safe harbor thinking would be to say, well, the boat has passed. No, he didn't think that. He refused to think that. You get the feeling if you read the story in Genesis and in this Romans here, he never for a moment doubted that this was something that God was going to fulfill. It says in verse 21, being fully persuaded, not partially persuaded, not a wee bit hopeful, but being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. He believed in the character, the power of the living God. And that influenced his mindset. That influenced him, have him out of the risky kind of thinking and risking of being ridiculed. How much are we fully persuaded that God can do the impossible? That God can do things we can't do, but through us. How convinced are we of the character of our mighty God can do all things? Because that will dictate your behavior and your risk-taking tolerance and your ability to step out of safe harbors. You know, to take on things that might involve a bit of resilience. And I'm all into self-care. There are times you need to self-care, but sometimes that can go too far. Sometimes we don't allow ourselves to build resilience because we're just going to do what we feel like we can do. But to be honest, that mentality will often stop you or hinder you to go out of your comfort zone, to lose a bit of sleep, to be stressed, but to rely on faith that God can do the impossible because you understand his character. Now, the seasons need to be balanced. But don't let's err of thinking being worried or scared or stressed is not an emotion I need or should never have. No, if you follow Jesus, it's often the emotion you have if you feel like step out of faith. Carrying on this concept too, this is the sort of pivotal incident, if you like, in Abraham's life, where he was told by God to kill his only son. He had a child, Isaac, and then in Hebrews 11 summarizes the story as well. It says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Don't you love that verse 19? It says here, Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. What kind of bedrock understanding God's character did Abraham have? I mean, it's horrific, it's brutal, it's hard to get our Western minds around what God asked him to do. But he raised the knife and he was willing to plunge it in, not because he thought that Isaac wasn't going to be the pathway for the blessing of the world to be blessed, but he had this kind of deep understanding, oh, well, Lord, I'll do as you say because I'm trusting you and you've got the power to bring Isaac back to resurrect him if needed be. His understanding of who God was enabled him to do stuff that was pretty insane. How convinced are you of God's character? How well do you know God? How well are you willing to trust him? Do you have that bedrock belief that he can do the impossible, that he's a God of abundance? Do you have the bedrock belief that he is all-powerful, that he is a promise keeper? How well do you know the living God? Because how well you do will really dictate your future trajectory about how well you can take the risks that God is calling you to take and us to take. I've got four simple ways you can build capacity to leave safe harbors and give God glory. And the first one, I would say, be inspired by others. One of the reasons why I love traveling overseas to meet some of our partners is that some of them are just ridiculous what they're willing to do. Their bedrock understanding of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, the understanding of the power of salvation that Jesus offers on the cross, their willingness to take risks that even thinking about it makes me come out for sweat. That inspires me. Because you know what? I see the boldness they have and I see their understanding of who God is and I say, I watch them and say, the God they serve is such a good God. The God they serve is such a powerful God. The God they serve is such a comforting God. I'm learning a bit about the character of God, watching these amazing partners we have do ridiculous things for God. And that inspires me. That helps equip me to understand the character of God. And there's people around our church and our city who I get inspired by. People who've got confidence to share Jesus. I was having a meal with one of my visiting American friends last year, and the waitress came up, and you know, just a random waitress, before you know it, he just naturally shared the gospel and invited her to our church. I don't think she turned up, but I thought, I was just like, I can learn about the character of God and have some boldness because I see other people doing it and I start to understand who God is in a fresh way. And this is perhaps one of the most powerful ways is there's nothing like you actually learning to step out in faith. First hand to take some faith steps. And you know, I'm often quite broken by the fact that so many Christians don't know how amazing their God is they serve because they're not willing to take a risk. It's only when you take a risk that you realize, man, this faith thing's an adventure, it's a ride. This is not boring following Jesus, it's jolly scary. But you know, take small steps and you realize, God is faithful. Who would have thought? I might take some more steps. I remember when I was at school, I got a bit of a hard time for being a Christian. That really, you know what? Life doesn't fall apart. It's okay. And I'm still friends with them. And so that was really good for me because that was a faith step to make a stake in the ground that I was a Christian. I remember sharing faith with one of my workmates when I was 18. That was a really good, I remember quite clearly, that was a real step of faith. And you know what, I'm much more comfortable doing it now. But do you know why? Because I took a faith step to do that when I was 18. And you know, God is good. And my words don't have to be perfect. But his character, he wants to use me. His promises to be with me are true. I remember a few of us started up CDN Trust in the 90s. And there was, you know, faith steps. Would we get funding? Would we do this? Would we do that? And what happened? God just breathed on it. And I saw miracles. And I thought, wow, that's building faith for me for other things. Do you know why? Because I took some faith steps in some areas. That's, you learn the character of God and you take some faith steps. Being generous. And Catherine and I, we've had lots of building of our capacity to understand God as a God of abundance. We've been on a journey over the years of generosity, and that's really, you know, built our faith up because we took small steps and more steps and more steps because we see how faithful God is. And he's a God of abundance, not scarcity. Learning how God is, what his character, takes some steps of faith for him. And of course, be a student of his word. Absolutely crucial. Read, understand, be inspired by God's word. The key thing about this is just write down God's promises. Understand God's promises. If you don't read his word regularly, and you might know them intellectually, but have you been reminded and reminded? I need reminding constantly of what God's promised me. And if you're not into a student of his word, how are you going to keep being reminded of his character? It grows your faith and expectation. It's really important. But there's a danger in understanding God's character without knowing the God himself. You might intellectually understand the promises, but that's what it needs to be more than just intellect. It needs to be a relationship. You know, relationship. And I just love the fact that Jesus called his father Abba Father, Daddy. Do you know what? You can trust Daddy. And that intimate relationship, not just intellectual knowledge, not just experiential knowledge, but also that relationship that you've got a father that loves you. He really loves you. And you know, I've been praying the Lord's Prayer a lot lately, and it says, our Father, he's our dad. Our Father who's out in heaven. He's in heaven, but he's our dad. And we can trust him because he's our dad. We can trust him to do risks. He's not going to lead us down and give us bad gifts. He's not going to lead us to a place that's going to destroy us. He wants to lead us in a place that can be, so he can use us, so we can be the excitement of being on that faith journey. So the big idea is, how well you know, the character of God really influences your willingness to step out of safe harbors. And I believe those tribes in Israel, there's probably a lot going on, but I think they lost sight of who God was, who God is. They lost sight of the character of God. They lost sight of the promises. They lost sight of the power. At least don't be like that. As we step into a season where I believe God individually and collectively is leading us outside safe harbors, we can't do that without actually growing our understanding of God's promises and his character. Let's go to pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that fact that Jesus left the safest harbor of all, heaven, to the riskiest place of all, the cross. We're in awe of the modeling that Jesus gave. He gave it all. The safest harbor to the riskiest place. And Lord, help us to be like that. Help us to grow in our understanding that you have our back, that you are for our good and not for our evil. And Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of how incredible you are and to dare to do great things for you. We pray in Jesus' name.